Good afternoon. I'm joined there by Dr. Declan Matthews, a local GP, and Shane Murphy, a psychotherapist. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming in.
No bother.
We're going to have a little chat there today about anxiety and the different forms and the difference between anxiety and depression. Do you want to get us started there, Shane?
Yeah, I suppose the first one I'd like to talk about is the fact that a lot of people struggle around the fact that what's a worry and what's an anxiety. And they can always correlate between one. You can actually move from one to the other. And I suppose with what's happening at the moment in society and as things are opening up and stuff like that, people are worried and they have anxiety around certain things. So I suppose a worry is just when it's happening in the present and what you're thinking about is actually happening around you, or you're worried that you might be going to the vaccination centre and you're like, okay, I'm just worried that I don't know where I'm going to go or anything like that. When you actually bring it into an anxiety is when you actually exaggerate it, that, you know, when you get there, there's going to be a problem, and there's going to be, say, if you're going to the vaccination centre, that, you know, that you're actually making up all these different scenarios and stories in your head that it's actually going to happen, how it's going to happen. You're going to go in and someone's going to put the needle in the wrong place or something like that. And all these things, stories that are, you've no way of actually knowing that they're going to happen. They're complete, you know, the terminology I use around anxiety is catastrophization. So it's literally like you're turning your mind into a disaster movie. And that's what happens with anxiety. And then it brings up a huge amount of stress within yourself. You know, it causes, you know, your stomach to churn, people to sweat, people to get shakes. And, you know, and then when you start building those stories up into your head, you might actually not do it and not go anywhere because it's actually happening. Whereas if you can actually bring it back to a worry, so the best way to think about a worry is that when you stay in the present, stay where you are and actually think about it as a worry, it's so important to pull it back into a worry and know that to worry is normal. To have anxiety is not normal, but if you can pull it back into a worry, it's so important.
Okay, so Declan, what he's kind of saying is you can turn worry into anxiety.
Absolutely, yeah, you can. I always sort of liken it a bit to, do you remember sort of going into your Leaving Cert first day and you had a knot in your tummy and you felt absolutely awful? You felt shaky, you felt sweaty, you felt heart beating really fast and you felt really nervous. Imagine that all the time with not going into the Leaving Cert. Do you know what I mean? I think it's probably a good analogy at the moment because of the Leaving Cert is on. That sort of having that sort of feeling all the time with no sort of reason for it, it must be an absolutely dreadful feeling for people. And the amount of it is frightening, really.
And is there more since the COVID?
I think there is more since the COVID, but there's always been a lot there. I think maybe the COVID exaggerated a little bit, and I think the COVID became a source of anxiety for people, but there's always been an awful lot of anxiety around.
Shane, are you finding it busier at the moment?
Well, two interesting facts around anxiety would have been clients that I would have had that had anxiety before the COVID don't have anxiety anymore, because when you're doing it, you're catastrophizing it, and there was no way they could ever have catastrophized COVID actually happening. So they're actually now actually not struggling as much around anxiety. But yeah, there is a huge increase in anxiety. I think, you know, as Dr. Matthews was saying, you know, I think around the fact that, you know, people are just I think a lot of people who would have struggled with anxieties before are now realizing they actually have anxieties. And it's kind of shone a light on it. And I suppose the good plus thing about that is that they're coming for help. They're asking for help. They're asking for support. And, you know, they're hearing more. I suppose there's more and more talks, you know, this radio show, there's everything else that's being talked around mental health, and it's putting a focus in and people are understanding. I mean, I struggled with anxieties in my life. And when I realized what anxieties were, and that I wasn't the only person on the planet, I thought I was the only person that actually was struggling with this. You feel really alone in anxiety. You feel really lost in anxiety. And when you suddenly realize that, A, what you have is actually something, and it's not just going on in your head. It is going on in your head, but it can actually be solved and it can be fixed. I think it's so important for people to realize that they're not alone in these feelings, that these feelings are, that everyone is experiencing it, that everyone has experienced it at some stage in your life. You know, as Dr. Matthews was saying about your Leaving Cert, going into it and feeling that all the time in your life. People are, you know, listening to this at the moment and they're saying, yeah, I felt like that. I know what that is. Oh, so that's anxiety. Oh, I didn't know what it is. And sometimes just naming it is enough for people to lose it.
Also, there's different types of anxiety. People can come on over going somewhere or whatever, certain situations. But for some people, it can be 24/7.
Absolutely, it can, and I think that's where it sort of takes over your life. And when it takes over your life and interferes with your life and interferes with your normal daily functioning of your life, that's where it becomes very, very difficult, you know. And I think people find that very, very hard. As I said, again, just waking up every day feeling like that, then not going in the it lasts all day, it lasts into the night, it interferes with your sleep, it just sort of is there all the time.
Okay, Shane, what's the cure for anxiety? Well, is there a magic cure?
No, unfortunately, there's no magic cure for anything. It's to do a work on yourself, realize what it is, bring everything back to the present, because, you know, anxiety is all about living in the future. When you're living in the future, that's when your anxiety really, really gets worse. So it's bringing everything back into the present. Breathing exercises are absolutely fantastic of bringing everything back to the moment, bringing everything back to where you're at now. And, you know, when you're dealing with extreme anxiety, that, like Dr. Matthews just explained there, you know, you have to go to a therapist. It's as simple as that. You have to go to someone to talk about it, because more often than not, this what's going on within you is something from your past, something that has actually happened in your past to make you think like this, to make you really push your boundaries around these feelings and these emotions that are going on. It is all your mind. It is your mind that's actually doing this. Your own mind is doing this to yourself.
So you can retrain your mind.
You can completely retrain your mind. You can retrain anything. You can retrain your mind. It works. And I have a lot of clients that would come to me and say, oh, you know, I've been dealing with this for the last 50 years. Is it going to take 50 years to fix? No, it's not. It's only going to take as long as it takes, but it's not going to take 50 years. So the trick really, like, I mean, you know, if you're only suffering from mild anxiety, is really start bringing everything back into the present. The other way to look at it is sometimes is to actually look at what you've actually catastrophized in your head and actually put it to the test. Can this actually happen? Is this reality? Actually put it down on a piece of paper. I know writing things on paper is kind of gone from people these days, but writing it down on a piece of paper and looking at it and actually looking at it on a piece of paper and saying, sure, how could that happen? That there's no way that could happen in life. And you giving it that reality check, that check that you're actually checking in, that this, can this happen in life?
Okay. Declan, is there a difference or much of a difference between depression and anxiety?
There is a difference. Obviously, depression is sort of a different type of illness. But certainly from my point of view, in my brain, I always look on them as the same illness. They've got the same problems with the sort of transmitters in the brain gone low. Just in some people, the anxiety will predominate, and in others, the depression will predominate. So you might have somebody who's extremely depressed but no real signs of anxiety. Or you might have somebody who's absolutely, totally anxious and only very minor signs of depression. But I would often almost... I look on them in my own brain as almost the same illness, though they present in two totally different ways. Now, you asked Shane there about the treatment of anxiety, and I'd just like to add my bit there, and I agree totally with what he said. Psychotherapy is the treatment. I would like to get across to people what is not the treatment. Xanax is not the treatment. Valium is not the treatment. Diazepam, which is also Valium, is not the treatment. Lexotan is not the treatment. Any of Centrax is not the treatment. They're an aid for short while if somebody just absolutely can't cope. But they're not a long-term treatment. And I mean, if you ask any doctor under the sun what their least favourite drug is, Xanax will be in there with it. It's an extremely powerful relaxer that builds up in the system, and once you're on it regularly, it's very, very difficult to get you off it.
But if that's a doctor's point of view, how would somebody get addicted to them if the doctor feels you should only be on them short time? Would a doctor keep prescribing them?
It's a very difficult one, because if you prescribe some and it helps, you're usually prescribing a short term. You try to prescribe a short term, but people sort of keep coming back. And sometimes if it's so severe, you may have to maintain them on it a bit longer. Sometimes they go get it elsewhere. I mean, we all know somebody who'll find you a Xanax if you want one.
Mm. Shane, can you be hospitalised with anxiety?
You can be, yeah. I mean, when it takes over your whole body, like, I mean, I suppose that on worst case scenarios with anxiety, yes, it is all in your mind, but it can cause a body trauma to you. And when it causes a body trauma, I mentioned sweats, and I mentioned, you know, I've clients who've got ulcers from it. You know, you know, as far as actually being checked in for a mental home, probably not around anxiety. But I mean, when it goes to an extreme level, when you're really catastrophizing it, it causes a huge amount of body trauma in you. It causes a huge amount of, like I said, ulcers. I've heard clients having ulcers. I've heard clients who've having pains in their chests. You know, has caused people who would been struggling with heart problems in the past would cause them to have mild strokes and stuff like that. So extreme versions of anxiety can cause all this in our body. Our mind is our mind. It's connected to our body, so it causes pain in our body.
Okay, Jacqueline, is there a difference between a panic attack and an anxiety attack?
Yes, in a way, a panic attack is just a way more extreme form of an anxiety attack. It's just where you absolutely can't function, where you're totally sweaty, where you're totally panicky, you can't think, you can't do anything at all. Panic attacks usually occur in sort of bouts, if you know what I mean. It could last a few hours, it could last a day or two. It's usually not continuous because it's so extreme. It's such an extreme sort of feeling that I don't think anybody would survive it if it lasted for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I suppose the thing about a panic attack in comparison to an anxiety is that a panic attack is in the immediate. It happens now. Now, it is you catastrophizing it, but you're bringing it back into the present and you're bringing that anxiety back into yourself. So when you bring that anxiety back into yourself, you're causing that panic attack, and it happens in the now. And it's really very profound, and it's very major that happens. You really genuinely, like with anxiety, you can slowly feel the feelings within your body, but with a panic attack, it happens in the immediate and it happens straight away.
Can you stop it?
You can. How? Again, breathing exercises, talking to people about it. You know, I've said this numerous times on the radio, talking to people, telling people what's going on is so important, because you think that you're alone in what's going on. And when you talk to people and explain exactly what's happening to you, you're sharing the load, you're sharing what's going on for you. And I mean, obviously there's extreme panic attacks where you do have to go to a therapist, you do need to get help around what is going on for you. I think for panic attacks, people will go to therapy, will go to get help a lot quicker than they would around an anxiety, because anxiety is slow and it's mild and it goes through your body.
Yeah, psychotherapists are particularly good at, if you do suffer from panic attacks, they're particularly good at sort of helping you identify what's triggering this panic attack, and then in helping teaching you to relax yourself, almost like a form of self-hypnosis.
Yeah.
And they teach, and it works extremely well once you go and get it taught to you.
Okay, we'll have the final word on Leaving Cert. Leaving Cert is starting next week, and I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety there. Any advice from Jacqueline?
No, as I say, a certain degree of anxiety or a certain degree of worry is good for you. I mean, if you go into your Leaving Cert totally laid back, almost horizontal, you won't do as well as if you go in with a little bit of anxiety. It helps us perform. It can be beneficial to us to help us perform and help us perform better. But as I say, it's when the anxiety starts taking over, that's when you need to sort of watch your sleep, watch your sort of trying to cram it in all until 12 o'clock at night and getting no sleep and waking up the next morning and having to go into the exam. Take care of yourself. Go for your walks. Meet your friends. Do the sort of things that keep us all balanced.
Okay, Shane?
Yeah, I suppose, keeping everything in the present, you know, as Dr. Matthews was saying, you know, if you didn't have any worry or any form of anxiety going into your Leaving Cert, you know, I'd actually be more worried. So, you know, keeping everything in the present, bring everything back to the present, you know, and after you've done your exam, like that, you go out and you do fun things and you don't go straight back into studying and et cetera, for the next exam. So keeping everything in the present and breathing techniques and going for walks and just keeping everything as normal as you possibly can within yourself.
Okay, guys, thanks very much. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.